Welcome to the Hometown Foods Let's Talk Guthrie County. I'm your host, Marcus Mackey. Joining us today is Iowa House Representative for District 23, Ray Sorensen. What is House File 3 about?
Sure, yeah. The intent of House File 3 is to ensure that Iowa's welfare programs are sustainable, that they remain available for the Iowans who truly need it. It does it through a variety of means, including codifying practices to authenticate the identity of applicants and then verify the information, you know, prior to their enrollment.
And then some people are arguing that the change for claiming assets would make it harder for some people to access SNAP and limit what could be purchased with WIC as well. What are your thoughts on those arguments?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard some concern about the food lists available to be purchased using SNAP benefits, you know, in the original draft of the bill. And that was, honestly, that was an unfortunate mistake in drafting. You know, apparently it's happened before when running SNAP and WIC bills. It just kind of reverts it to an original, like a basic list. And I've been assured that that list in the original draft of the bill is being amended. And the purpose was to ban things like pop and candy from being bought with taxpayer money. You know, the intention here is to make sure that food stamps aren't being used for unhealthy foods. And, you know, the goal, again, is not to kick anyone off who needs SNAP, but it's just to make sure that the program is being utilized by those who truly need it.
And then what are your thoughts on the House proposal of 3% for state supplemental aid? And do you think it should be more?
The increase amount to, I mean, it's nearly $107 million. I believe it's something like $106.8 million for more than fiscal year 2023. And the total amount comes to nearly $4 billion. I think that's at $3.7 billion. That's billion with a B to school foundational aid. It would bring pupil funding to around $7,600 per student, and I think that's an increase of over $222 over fiscal year 23 as well. You know, many of the school administrators I talked to, they were excited that we were even considering 3% because the Senate had originally pitched out 2% and the governor's budget, as everyone knows, was at 2.5. You know, our friends across the aisle, they're always going to claim we're underfunding public education, but, you know, we've been responsible for record high education investments over the last decade. You know, K-12 education funding has increased by almost $1 billion new over the last 10 years. You know, and I keep bringing it up, but the last time education funding was actually cut was when the Democrats had the trifecta in 2010.
What are your thoughts on the bills advancing through the House about schools notifying parents if their child chooses to be addressed by different pronouns than what is on their birth certificate and prohibiting curriculum on gender identity and sexual orientation?
The intent of both House File 8 and 9 is to put Iowa parents back in the driver's seat. You know, quite simply, parents should parent and teachers should teach. House File 8 says that classroom instruction by school personnel or third parties on sexual orientation or gender identity may not occur in kindergarten through third grade or in a manner that is not age appropriate for students. Parents send their kids to public schools to learn subjects like reading, writing, math, science, not social type topics like gender identity and sexual orientation. This bill is commonly misconstrued as a bill that aims to silence any mention of the LGBTQ Iowans' existence. But remember, this bill doesn't say students can't talk about those topics at school at all. It says they can't be taught to students in the curriculum. Teachers need to stick to the subjects they've always been tasked with teaching, and parents should handle these other topics how they think is best. On House File 9, school employees can't hide information about students' requested gender transition or identity from the child parents. You know, school employees can't facilitate, encourage, or coerce students to withhold information from their parents. We've seen examples in Iowa of school districts with policies that box parents out of these big decisions in their child's lives. And again, it is the responsibility of the parent to parent their child, not the teachers. This bill ensures that parents are kept in the loop and are brought in to be a part of any decisions being made for their child at school.
And are there any school districts in your House district that have a curriculum involving the gender identity and sexual orientation?
Not to my knowledge, but, you know, I get emails from all over the state. You know, I know, for instance, pornographic gender and sexual orientation books, many that are very extreme and meant for adult eyes only, have been found in schools in my House district. You know, I'm not going to call them out here. I know they're being flagged by concerned parents, and I know there's government oversight coming up. And my hope is that administrators act according to age-appropriate material for their school libraries. But again, for the most part, the schools in House District 23 are doing a great job. However, we've seen instances of these age-inappropriate materials popping up in books and curriculum across the state. Over the last couple of years, we've heard from many parents across the state expressing frustrations with not having their voices heard by their public schools. And, you know, whether it's from masking children in appropriate books or no option for in-person learning or political indoctrination, you know, many Iowa parents are fed up.
I had heard somewhere that maybe the curriculum bill would go up to ninth grade instead of just being at third grade where it was originally brought in at. Is that something that might happen?
You know, it's one of those things that I think is being debated. You know, I think I've heard the Senate's maybe even considering all the way through K-12. You know, we're engaging in those discussions now. Our bill says third grade, but I know there's some in the caucus that think it should go older. I'm not sure where I'm at on it. I know third grade's still pretty dang young. I guess I'd have an appetite for a little older, but it'll just kind of depend on, you know, what the caucus feels. And I think, man, at least third grade is an absolute no-brainer, but, you know, maybe there's an appetite for all the way through elementary.
All right. And is there anything that has passed this last week or has been getting closer to passing that you're looking forward to see go through?
Sure. You know, voting on SSA will take place next week in the House, and I'm excited again to increase our commitment to public schools. You know, like I said earlier, we are approaching nearly $4 billion with a B, dollars in investment. There's also going to be some government oversight on, you know, hearing from parents who, you know, have had their voices heard, especially on like the topics of those inappropriate books. As for, you know, my committees, we've just passed a ransomware bill off the floor, and, you know, that defines ransomware in code, and it makes it a crime punishable all the way up to at least a Class C felony, you know, depending on the amount of damages. And so I think that is an important step forward in the cybersecurity realm. And then I also hope to bring my cybersecurity simulation training center and cyber sports complex bill to the floor. And that would be a $2.5 million appropriation over 3 years to Iowa State University to develop that and, you know, have something very unique to the state and even the country for cybersecurity simulation training. Beyond that, work in my committees continues on the consumer data privacy bill, which is a really big bill dealing with consumer and controllers of data. And beyond that, I think, you know, that's about it for next week that I can think of.
All right. And you had mentioned a cyber sports bill as well.
Mm-hmm. You want to dive a little deeper on that one?
Yeah.
And it's like scenario-based exercises to prepare a cyber workforce. So organizations would be able to face scenario-based adversaries, like a red team that would be like the hackers. And then they practice like internal communications, you know, everything from, you know, like having the CEO be interviewed by like a mock media team and, you know, all the way down to, you know, your clerks and secretaries. And then you could review how your organization responds and where you need to fix that. As for students, they would be able to use it for classes and case studies. And then also for competitions as well. And then there would be a base for researchers to study new defense methods and organizational processes on how to better, you know, defend against these cyber attacks.
Okay. That sounds like a pretty interesting bill to go through.
Oh, man. I got it through the House last year, and it went over to the Senate to die. So hopefully we're on the same page this year and that the governor ends up signing it into law.
Well, I look forward to seeing what happens with that one.
Yeah.
That was today's Hometown Foods Let's Talk Guthrie County. Discover today the many advantages of shopping with your hometown team. Hometown Foods in Guthrie Center, Panora, and Stewart. If you missed any of today's program, you can find a recording of it online at RaccoonValleyRadio.com under the podcast tab.